Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Friend of the show, Aaron Murray, joins us once again. He is the president of the Players Lounge. He hosts the Snaps podcast daily on the Volume Sports, also works with ESPN and SiriusXM as an analyst. And of course, he is a former Georgia Bulldog, played quarterback for the Dogs, one of the best in SEC history. Again, our good friend, Aaron Murray, joining the show. Aaron, what's going on, my man? Appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me as always. Football discussion, especially college football, is now 365, man. So happy to jump on these shows in the offseason. Usually we wouldn't have much to talk about this time of year. And it seems like the football gods continue to bless us with topics to hit on.
Aaron, before we dive into everything, again, like I mentioned, you're doing a lot. The Players Lounge is incredible. I was checking out you guys' website just before this. The Snaps podcast you're hosting. Just let folks know what you're doing if you want to expand, obviously, on the Players Lounge. I know that's sort of your baby, if you will. And
yeah. You
guys do a great job with former players, current players, what have you, with the content you're creating. So just let folks know exactly what you're doing and where they can find it.
Yeah, I mean, the Players Lounge has been awesome. It's been a lot of fun to essentially give the student athletes, now because of NIL, the opportunity to create content that is authentic to them, real discussions, whether it's on the field or off the field. So what we do at Georgia and Tennessee, and then now we're starting to expand to Clemson starting next week, is just essentially create a show for them. A lot of these guys, yeah, they're good on a phone, an iPhone. They can do like 60-second clips, but to sit down and actually have like a 30-minute show, 45-minute show, you know, things that you and I do, takes some planning. It takes preparation. It takes putting together a run a show and then clipping it out and getting on YouTube. There's a lot of things that go into it that these student athletes just don't have the time to do that. So what we do is we partner with these student athletes at these universities, create shows around them, and then we handle all the logistics. We handle the pre-show production. We handle the camera crew. We handle the post-show editing, and they just got to show up and have fun and be themselves. And it's really turned into some really fun conversations, authentic conversations, some really cool behind the scenes access that our fans get when they go watch the content at the Players Lounge. So we're excited to keep it going. Like I said, we're expanding to Clemson next week and hopefully more SEC schools before next football season.
Aaron, you mentioned the great players that you've brought on that platform and you've had conversations with. Carson Beck is one of those, and he had a fantastic season in 2023, right? This time last year, I think one of the big questions was, okay, how do they move on from the Stetson Bennett era? Carson Beck takes over. We all knew he had the talent, but it's still a tall task to replace a back-to-back national championship winning quarterback. And I think to say that Carson Beck was filled that role quite nicely is an understatement, if you will. And I still think he was one of probably the most underrated and undervalued quarterbacks in 2023. I feel like he's probably going to be that way again in 2024. What did you take away from your conversations with him? And were you surprised in the slightest at the success he had this past year?
No, I mean, for Georgia fans that have followed me through the past 3 or 4 years, they knew that I was pretty high on Carson from the first time I saw him. It was in a fall camp practice scrimmage in the stadium like 4 years ago. It was when JT was there and a couple other guys. I think Dwan Mathis was there at the time too. But anyways, like I saw Carson throw the football. It's like, who is this kid? Like he looked smooth. And for a young kid, he already looked like he had good command of the offense, the way that he was able to get through his progression. It's like, man, this kid's special. And, I kept harping on it over and over and over again for like 3 years of like, man, this guy, when he gets his chance, he's going to be special. And it kept being delayed and delayed and delayed. And I started getting a little bit worried, like, am I wrong? Is he just a practice player? Is he, what we call like a BP hitter? Guys can go up there in baseball and hit a million home runs in BP. You put them up to play, they can't hit a curve. Like, is that the type of player he is? Like, what's going on? Why is he not translating? Because he's got the size, he's got the IQ, he's got the ability to make all the passes you want. Why is he not on the football field? And then finally, bam, he got his opportunity last year. And I'm with you, man. I thought he played great. Was it perfect? No, but I thought it was pretty darn near close to a first-year quarterback, what he was able to do of taking care of the football, getting through his reads, not being greedy. And at times he was probably could have been a little bit more greedy when it comes to, throwing the football down the field, but he was smart with it. He said, hey, I got a great defense. I got a great football team. If I just play within the system, we're going to be pretty darn good. And he did that. Now I think it's now year two, play within the system, but draw outside the lines a little bit. And I think if he can do that with the maturity that he gained through the first season, you're going to be talking about one of the best quarterbacks in the country next year.
Aaron, you played the position at the highest level, obviously, for Georgia. And again, you weren't just an average quarterback. You're one of the best to play in the SEC. When you look at the quarterback play right now compared to when you played, do you think it's better? Do you think it's taken a step back? Is it about the same? I mean, again, I know you might have some biases because you play, but and you hear this in pro sports a lot. Guys will look back and say, these guys couldn't touch what we did. But like realistically, again, you study the game, you know the game. Do you think the quarterback play, has it improved? Has it taken a step back because of the style of offense maybe? Or like when you look at the state of the quarterback position in the SEC, what are your takeaways?
You think it's better? I mean, I think all these quarterbacks, I mean, it's not just the SEC, but it's nationally. I mean, these kids, they have so much at their hands early on, from peewee football to high school football to all these, private quarterback gurus that you can go work with. Like my generation, we started with a lot of these, spread offenses. Like my last years of high school football, we started playing and dabbling in that and throwing the ball 30, 35 times a game. But these kids are doing these offenses in middle school. I mean, I'll go out to the local, park to go watch like little peewee football every now and then. And And you'll see these kids doing like RPOs and throwing little bubbles and checking. I'm like, man, these kids, like, I just got the line of scrimmage when I was in Pee Wee and like middle school, and we just played. Like, who is the fastest dude? Get in the football and let him run. And that was it. See ball, get ball. And now these guys are really, you know, these coaches are going to these coaches clinics and then taking what they learn and bringing it back to the players. So it's amazing the mental IQ of these players. And then the physical traits, because they are working with these quarterback, quote unquote, gurus during the offseason, has really prepared these guys to not only play, but play early. And so, yeah, I would say like right now, quarterback play is as good as I've seen it. And I know people are like, you know, I talked to my boy T-Bob yesterday about this on our Snap show. He's like, oh, you know, is it going to be a weak draft class next season? And I don't think so. I think this, I know this draft class this year is pretty darn special with Caleb and Drake and Jaden and Penix and, you know, JJ. But like next year is going to be pretty darn good too. I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks. I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the SEC, which should make for a really good year.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So, Aaron, if you were to go back or to restart your college career right now, I'm sure you'd imagine you'd reset all your records with all that extra time to prepare, to study, to... Because, I mean, again, like you mentioned, it's 24-7, 365 now. It wasn't quite that, say, 10 years ago.
No, it wasn't. These kids, I mean, they're put on a lot more stress, I would say, in today's game than compared to what it was a decade ago. You know, social media adds a lot of stress. You know, NIL, for how great it is, there's that stress component of it. I mean, for those, you know, who, I'm sure there's a million people, including myself, with that, but I would have loved to be stressed over making $500,000. Trust me. But it does add that level of, hey, I'm an 18 to 22 year old kid making X amount of dollars. People are treating me like a professional, where I'm still, like I said, a college kid that's going to make mistakes both on and off the field. So I do think the stakes are higher, the pressure's higher, but that's what you sign up for. I mean, you're playing quarterback in the SEC. This is now, and then two, you throw into the fact that the SEC and the Big Ten are kind of on this new level now. You know, you're not just one of five conferences. You're one of now really four conferences, and really you are the biggest. You know, biggest fish in the ocean there, the biggest fish in the pond, you in the Big Ten. So I think all that together, you know, there's an expectation that, you know, especially at the Georgias and the LSUs, the Alabamas, the Texases, the Oklahomas, that, you know, if you're a quarterback at that university, you better be pretty close to being a pro prospect early on, which is kind of scary.
Aaron, you're as tied in with that Georgia fan base as anybody out there. And I think there was this respect. While there was a hatred, there was a respect for Nick Saban and what he had built at Alabama, and those matchups were always legendary. But make no mistake, Georgia had a Nick Saban problem. They had an Alabama problem when he was there. What's the mood of the fan base now that, you know, and I think most of us expect Kalen DeBoer will do well, but he's still not Nick Saban. And so, like, if this opens the door for anybody – you have to think it's going to be the Georgia Bulldogs to take over at the top of the SEC and really kick the door down, right? Most of us feel like they were already there, but we saw last year in the SEC title game that just, for whatever reason, man, Nick Saban just always found a way, it seemed, to get it done. So, like, what's the mood around the Georgia fan base? And then I'll ask you your thoughts on Kalen DeBoer, Alabama, and just – if you had to guess, what will they be? I mean, they're not going to win six national championships like Nick Saban did over the course of, what, 15 years or so. But, I mean, I don't know that it's fair to expect them to fall off a cliff either. I think that's really intriguing to find out what they're going to be in this new era, if you will.
Yeah, and the Georgia thing first, like, there is a respect. Because people always ask me about the rivalry between Georgia and Alabama. I was like, to me, personally, like, I never viewed it as a rivalry. I reviewed it as a game somewhat respectful, because I always feel like rivalries can get a little bit dirty, the punch in, the jab in, the crap talk and all that off and on the field. Like, I feel like that's what makes a rivalry special. I never felt like there was any hatred between Georgia and Alabama or Georgia fans and Alabama fans. And I could be completely naive in saying that, but I always felt like there was a respect. Like, we are the two big guys and, you know, king of the mountains together a little bit. You know, Alabama's 1 week, Georgia's the other week, one season to the other season. There was a respect for how the programs were run and the way in which they've been able to have success over the past decade. But yeah, to now look at it as, okay, Kirby is one of what, three coaches, current coaches with a national championship. You know, the other two are, you know, just kind of not in a spot right now that I would say are competitive with Georgia and what they've built. So Georgia fans are kind of sitting back saying, like, we have the players, we have the resources. We have won multiple national championships for the past 3 years. We've been to multiple playoffs and other championship appearances. Why can't we make a run similar to what Nick Saban did for those 15, 20 years? And I don't know if there will ever be a run like that just because of the new landscape of college football. But if there is a team that could make a run like that, Kirby has situated himself now at the top of the mountain where he could make a run that is – maybe as close to what we'll see Nick Saban do as anyone. And then when it comes to Kalen DeBoer, I like the hire. I think he's a great coach. I mean, he's won everywhere he's been. When it comes to the blue chip ratio, which gets thrown around a lot when it comes to the preseason of how many 4- and 5-star guys are on your roster, like the percentage wise, they're still number three right now. You know, with all the departures, with all the guys going to the NFL, with all the guys in the transfer portal, Kalen DeBoer has the number three blue chip football team in America. They have more talent than anyone else in the country than I believe it's, you know, Georgia and Ohio State. So Kalen DeBoer, who's won everywhere he's been, won at Washington, is now given the best roster he's ever had. And you think that he's just going to just crap the bed? Like, are they going to win a championship next year? I don't think so, but they're not going to, like you alluded to, they're not going to fall off the mountain. I mean, I think this is a team that will be extremely competitive. I kind of have him like at a 9-3, 10-2 mark, somewhere around there, which I think in year one may not be up to the standards of Alabama football, but I would think that would keep the trains on the track.
You mentioned, Aaron, a new era of college football is upon us with no more divisions in the SEC, a 12-team playoff. Texas and Oklahoma now joining the league. What are you expecting from them? Texas obviously coming off that college football playoff appearance. Oklahoma with a double-digit win season. I thought it was really, really interesting, though, because I think the question is, like, who's going to be the hammer? Who's going to be the nail, right? Is it going to be Texas and OU taking it to the SEC, or is the SEC going to kind of humble Texas and Oklahoma, or is it going to be somewhere in the middle? OU's over-under win total in Vegas, which is not the end-all be-all, but 6.5, I think really goes to show you just how difficult the league is and what they're expecting. Meanwhile, Texas is at 10.5. But, I mean, what are you expecting for those two teams? Oklahoma won 10 games last year. Again, Texas went to the playoff. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, but in regards to how they compete in this league, what are you expecting from those programs?
I mean, I'm high on Texas. I was high on Texas last year. I'm high on them this year. I really like Quinn. I think Quinn throws the ball with more anticipation than I've seen from a lot of quarterbacks at the college ranks. I think he's very talented. I think another year in the system, year three with Sark, some of the pieces they were able to get in the offseason this year, what Sark's been able to build in recruiting over the past 3 years. Like, Texas is more than ready to jump in right now into the SEC and compete and be a team that could compete for not only an SEC championship, but obviously a spot then in the playoffs. So I love Texas. I love where Texas is at. Texas is stamp officially back as they get ready to go in their first season SEC. Oklahoma, I think there's a few question marks. You know, one is the offensive line and the mass departure from that group this offseason. You know, I know that Arnold is going to be the guy, and there was a big push to get, you know, Gabriel out of there. But man, Dylan Gabriel was so good last year. And I know it's really hard in this era of transfer portal of looking to the future while also, you know, trying to win right now. Huge get for Oregon. I think a big loss for next season, and I could be completely wrong with this, but you're going into the SEC with a revamped offensive line and a brand new quarterback. And I still think there's a huge question mark about Venables. Like, how good of a coach is Brent Venables? You know, he took a massive stride last year, which he should have, because they have more talent than anyone else besides Texas in the Big 12. So if they are a 6-win team, 7-win team this year, what does that say about him? And does Oklahoma then look to, you know, look for a new coach? But that's kind of where I have them. I mean, they have the harder of the two schedules between Texas and Oklahoma. Definitely is harder for the Sooners. I'm not anticipating a lot from them, where I am anticipating Texas as a playoff team come next season.
Aaron, are you buying the Ole Miss hype? And if not, what do you need to see from the Rebels to buy in?
No, I am. I really love what Lane has been able to build. Because it's not easy to build through the portal. I mean, you have to essentially hit the reset button every offseason on your culture and, you know, how to teach those guys what it's like to be a part of our program. And it's easier to do that when you have guys that stay for 3, 4 years, 5 years to just ingrain that in them. Then those guys are able to then teach it to the newcomers. Well, they just have so much turnover where it's hard to do that. But Lane has found a way to master. Hey, you come to Ole Miss, and it takes a lot of research on his end to make sure he's getting the right type of player. You come to Ole Miss, this is how we do things. And he's proven that he can do that. And you look at his roster from Jackson Dart to, you know, Trey on the outside to, you know, the pieces they brought in on the defense side of the football. There's not a lot of questions. Obviously, you would have loved to see Jutkin stay and not go to Ohio State. But I think that offense is going to be elite. I think Jackson Dart is going to be one of the better quarterbacks, not only in the SEC, but in the country next year. And then you throw on top of that what the defense could look like. And I would say fairly easier schedule compared to most of the SEC. I think it's the same thing. Like they put all their chips in the middle of the pile for next season. And they said, we're going to be a playoff team. And I think they're more than capable of doing that.
Aaron, Missouri was that other team last year that really surprised, won double-digit games, beat Ohio State that you talked about in the Cotton Bowl, won 11 games. They returned their quarterback. They returned arguably the most electric player on the outside at wide receiver and Luther Burden III. Thoughts on Eli Drinkwitz and the Tigers? I think, again, I don't know if it's because of the brand of Missouri or maybe some are there skeptics out there that think it maybe was a flash in the pan. And I think this is a big year for Mizzou to prove that it wasn't just a one-off, they can sustain success. But your thoughts on what Eli Drinkwitz has done to the Missouri Tigers? It's crazy to think how much can change in a year. I think this time last year we were talking about him and hot seat, and now we come into a season, and maybe Mizzou is a real contender for the 12-team playoff.
Yeah, I mean, it's last year you could make the case that, like, last year was the exception. You look at previous seasons, and obviously there was kind of up and down. And even 2 years ago, I remember watching, obviously, all their games, and they finished the season off 6-7. I had their bowl game versus Wake Forest down in Tampa. And you go back and watch the season, you're like, man, there's like – and you could say this for about a lot of teams, but there were 3 or 4 games where Missouri could have changed their whole season that year. I mean, the fumble versus Auburn in the end zone held the miss essentially extra point from the 3-yard line. It was a mixed field goal that would have won the game. Then they fumble it versus Auburn. You know, that's a game that they should have won right there. The game versus Kentucky with the – roughing the punter, which they changed the rule the next season. I mean, there was a handful of plays like, man, this team could have been an 8-win team, you know, 9-win team. And then it wouldn't have been as crazy of a jump to that 10-win mark, 11-win mark that we saw this past year. So I really like Eli. I think it was good and healthy for him to give up the play calling duties. I had a couple of their games last year and had an opportunity to talk with him about that. I thought what Brady Cook did fully healthy was really impressive this past season. You know, I'm just interested to see this year, does he take more of the running game on? Something that he was a little bit on and off last year. Don't think that he has to feel like he has to do it all as an offense. But how much of a runner is Brady Cook going to be? I think that's another part of the game that you can maybe see him expand on a little bit coming into next season. But I like Missouri. I may not be as high as on them as other teams when it comes to kind of where people are projecting them in the top 10 heading into next season. I think there's a lot of questions on defense. I thought you lost one of the best defensive young minds in the game to LSU. And it's hard for me to feel like that's not going to hurt them at least a little bit heading into next season. So like Brady, like Luther, you know, we'll see what they do to replace Cody Schrader back there at the running back position. But I do think, Eli is an opportunity to, like you alluded to, keep the momentum going in the right direction. But I just don't think that, like, realistically, we should be expecting another 10-11 win season from them.
Aaron, you mentioned LSU, and when I think of them, I think of LSU, Tennessee, some other middle-of-the-pack teams. Is there a team right now you think maybe not being talked about quite as much, or a team that you expect, or you wouldn't be surprised to see them ascend and surprise this season?
Year three, Brian Kelly, you would expect, like, okay, this is the year where you make the move, but man, they need some bodies on defense. I mean, they need some bodies. They need some bodies at defensive line. We'll see what the defense looks like in general. I think the offense will be good. You know, I think Garrett Nussmeier is a very talented quarterback. Obviously, you lose the Heisman-winning quarterback. So, like, you're losing a Heisman-winning quarterback. You're losing probably two first-round receivers. I think the offense takes a slight step back. Hopefully, the defense takes a giant leap forward, but that's TBD, especially – you know, as they kind of figure out what that front seven looks like. I don't have huge expectations for LSU. I think LSU is an 8-9 win team next year again. I think Brian Kelly's still building. I think he's in the right spot. They got to figure out the defense, and maybe they get some more guys in the portal in the second go around to build some depth at that position. But, you know, you got a quarterback that's played a decent amount. You feel good about that. I would say you're probably going to have one of the more talented offensive lines in the SEC. And you're going to have some talent at the receiving position as well. So offense will be top three, top four. We'll just see what that defense can improve on. But like I said, 8-9 wins is kind of my expectations. The other team you brought up, Tennessee, I'm very bullish on Tennessee, and call me crazy. My boy T-Bob keeps saying I'm crazy, but man, I was really impressed with Nico in the bowl game. You see what they're bringing back on both sides of the football. Defense that got better last year. I think Tennessee's a team that could be contending for a playoff spot.
Aaron, last thing, and I'll get you out of here because you mentioned Nico. We ran this poll the other day on social media of which first-year starter at the quarterback position deserves the most hype going into 2024. You mentioned Nico, Talen Green at Arkansas is another one, Lenoris Sellers at South Carolina. I would throw Garrett Nussmeier in there because I think of him as a first-year starter at LSU. Brock Vandegrift, right, former Georgia boy over at Kentucky, Blake Shapen at Mississippi State. There may be some others, and I'm Diego Pavia over at Vanderbilt. Of that list and in the SEC of the first-year starters, who's the guy or maybe a couple names that you feel like should be getting a lot of hype coming in and you're expecting them to maybe while they're at the bottom of some quarterback rankings right now because just sheer lack of experience, you think they're going to take the league by storm?
I think Nico's definitely one. I mean, good size. Hopefully he puts some weight on this offseason, starts chugging those protein shakes. But, man, he was smooth. He looked really impressive versus Iowa in the bowl game. He was the number one ranked quarterback in his class for a reason, and we got to see what that was all about in that game versus the Hawkeyes. So I really like Nico. You see what they brought back on offense, the offensive line, some of the receivers. I think Tennessee's in a really good spot, like I said, to be a team that can contend. You know, Garrett, he's played a lot of football. We've seen him from hell from 2 years ago when he played against Georgia. I know his mop-up duty in the SEC championship game with a talent around him. The fact that he's been in the offense, I know it's a new OC, but they brought the OCs from within house. He's going to be just perfectly fine to take that step forward. So I really like those two. I would say like those two are the ones I'm keeping my eye on the most. You know, I'm interested to see what Brock looks like. Obviously a guy that I've somewhat covered a decent amount since he's right up the street from me at Georgia. Big kid, athletic, hard worker, great leader. Can he get that Kentucky offense moving in the right direction? I'll be keeping my eye on him. But if there's two guys that I think could just absolutely explode and propel their offenses to top five in the SEC, it would be Nico and Garrett.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Aaron, you and T-Bob do a great job on snaps. What's your favorite moments on the Snaps podcast with him? I know you guys have a lot of good laughs on that show.
Oh, man. A lot of it's R-rated, so which I've learned that on YouTube, I guess you could be a little bit loose of lip at times. No, we keep it fun. We keep it entertaining. We feel like we're a good mixture of obviously two guys that played college football at a high level, had a lot of success. T-Bob played center for LSU. Obviously, I played quarterback for Georgia for 4 years. So we know the game really well, so we can speak to the X's and O's. But T-Bob just brings a very fun dynamic to it where you never know what you're going to get from him. So I feel like we need like a bloopers reel of the past 2 years of some of the things that were said on the show that I never knew that I'd be talking about that during a college football show, but somehow it gets brought up.
Aaron Murray of the Players Lounge, the Snaps podcast, ESPN, SiriusXM, former Georgia quarterback. Aaron, always a pleasure, man. I appreciate you taking the time. We'll definitely do it again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.